Welcome back to another episode of JFT, Just a Few Takes, the snacks and sports podcast and everything in between. Putting it down for the culture, doing it for those all out there on the front lines during this pandemic. Kind of checking in. This has been our pandemic diary, we'll use for lack of a better word, and just kind of checking in, seeing what's going on out there. It's business as usual. The pandemic is here. It's not going away. And it's really interesting to me that there's people that are quitting their jobs, from sports players down to nurses to police officers to people in the army, just dug their heels in and got their head in the sands and just will not get the vaccine.
No, they're making it mandatory in San Francisco for the the firefighters and the nurses and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what police. I mean.
So, but what they said on the news was, I'd say it was somewhere between 85 and 90% of the people in those fields have gotten their shots. But now it's like, if you don't get it by, I think it's October 30th or something, then you can't go to work. So,
I don't understand the logic of just like, we've been getting vaccines and shots for years.
Yeah, it's all the stuff that's being played out in the media and on social media, I should say.
People just being stubborn, they don't want to be told what to do?
Well, that too, but also, if you put a bunch of scare tactics out there and you scare people, they're sometimes scared is paranoia and sometimes it's logic and it makes sense. But I think at this point, the shots are helping. The Stanford doctor said your chances of getting it after the shots was, I think he said 95%, but then now I saw someone in the news the other day that it's a 50% chance, but 50% chance is better than a 0% chance, so if there's a 0% chance, that it's going to protect you, then yeah, why take it? But if it's a 50% chance it'll protect you, take it, and especially for people at risk and have pre-existing health issues, those are the ones that their immune systems, are compromised and will be greatly affected. So
yeah, people are dying.
Then you got to be careful. There's good people out there that have taken the shot and died. I think Hank Aaron. I think they were saying Hank Aaron died from the shot. I'm not 100% sure, but I do know that some older people, taking the shot actually, was enough to be too much. You know what I mean? And put him in a tailspin. So. Just be careful out there, make logical decisions.
Nike time, just do it.
Yeah. And let's get through this. I know that the restaurants are opening up more and more and the good ones are crowded. So their feeling out there is, okay, we're working this out, we're lessening our risks, but we're still going out there where the employees are wearing their masks out there. And they're wiping things off, and everything's, remember what you always said, cleanliness is next to chili godliness. So the cleaner you are, the healthier you're going to be. Period. You don't want a bunch of foreign stuff in your system that your body has to break down. It's got to get it out. The less toxins you have to filter through your body, the better your organs will be. So, stay healthy out there. And I know it's tough. I'm on a diet right now, I guess, or a life-changing thing, and it's hard, because I love food, but now I'm doing
moderation.
It's like, Okay, this is going to be a good meal, but I'm only going to have half and then save the other half for later. So just be a little conscious out there of overall health and also other people's health, and stay clean. Yeah. Keep your distance, because, safety's no accident.
Just do what you've been doing to get this far.
Yeah.
Mask up. Social distance.
Yeah, and limit.
Cough in your sleeve if you got to. Wash your hands.
And limit your exposure. That's the key. That's the key right there. Is limit it. Don't go out there and start hugging everybody. And all that kind of stuff and get real close. Like what I've been doing still is the air bumps and fists
and the elbow bump. Yeah.
And I did one the other day when we started with the handshake, fake handshake. Then we went to the who was it? I think one of my buddies up north. And then we went to the elbow and we did like three different shakes, but we didn't touch each other.
Yeah, all virtual.
And it was kind of fun. Then we just started laughing, so.
It's the new normal. Yeah, it doesn't even feel weird anymore. It's like we've been doing this for a minute. That's why I don't see the hesitation and the masks. And people are crazy.
And the good thing is, like I said before, people were hesitant, once shy, once bit, twice shy, and all the paranoia, a lot of paranoia is wore off out there. And And when I go into the restaurants now, you see the smiles, you see the laughter that you didn't see. It was almost like, I'm in a restaurant and I'm paranoid that I'm going to get it, but I really want this food and I need something before I go to work or whatever. And now you see
the anxiety is lifting.
Yeah, oh, the anxiety is almost completely gone because they're used to it, normal. It's like, okay, this is what we have to do. And
it feels like a group effort. Everybody's wearing their mask. Everybody's staying apart. It's like we got the rules down. It's new social etiquette.
Yeah, and the waitresses are you know, tripping. You know, like they'd be hesitant and stiff, kind of like, okay, can I take your order? You know,
yeah.
The whole day they're just having that anxiety, even though it's on a low temperature, it's just going through their body, you know, all day long. And now I see people just, okay, I'm at work and I get to see my customers and just a lot happy. I saw a lot of happiness this weekend at the restaurants I went to.
Yeah, I mean, people are being safe down there. They're wiping down the tables. I see it sometimes when I'm at the gas station, they'll do it in shifts, and when I'm going out to pump my gas, I'll see the people out there and they're wiping everything down. They're spraying everything down. I mean, they're being really safe.
And you know what? It's, you know, employee, you know, that just sits around when it, you know, there's slow time, there's red time and green time, and when you got to be serving people, that's green time, but when it's slow, that's red time. That's a time go around and clean stuff, you know, and
sanitize
it. It makes the appearance, you know, when you come to a restaurant so much better. And I know that Damien on the Shark Tank, you know, he taught me something when I was watching the Shark Tank one time, and he said that, you know, always have your hygiene, because you never know when you're offending somebody because they're not going to say anything. And that's when I started going, like, getting up in the morning, go, I don't have time to shave, I don't have time to comb my hair, I'm just got to go out and run and do these deliveries. And people take it a lot more serious when you've showered and you've shaved and you brush your teeth and you're, you know, you've got clean clothes on, you know, and you go out there and do the job. People appreciate it. So I really like the goodness of more cleanliness out there in the restaurants right now. You know?
Oh yeah.
You know, so you got, with everything bad, you got to look at the silver lining. We're more conscious. We've gotten through, you know, most of us have gotten through the hardest part, and it's just like you said, the new norm.
Yeah.
So be safe out there, everybody.
Yes, definitely be safe and just keep doing what you're doing. And hopefully that's wearing masks, getting your vaccines, sanitizing, keeping your social distancing, maybe not going out as much.
Yeah.
You know, still
some. Go to the restaurants.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely support the local restaurants.
And the good ones have been packed. So I'm really excited because, like I said, for a year, you know, I didn't even get takeout because I don't like takeout. I like to sit down and talk to the people. So I'm supporting the restaurants as much as I can because I miss, you don't know you miss something till it's gone.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about the restaurants. And I'm glad we're back, and I'm glad they're crowded, and I'm glad they're all making money, you know? And guess what? Now my sales for restaurants are going way back up. And
people are getting back out there.
Yeah, because they're ordering the food, and, you know, they're getting the hot sauce. So, it was a pretty fun week out there. You know, as far as the pandemic's concerned, I saw a lot of warmth. I saw a lot of friendliness. And the weather was great, too. You know, we're in that Indian summer thing right now. So
the weather's been amazing.
It's perfect because I take that back. It was pretty hot yesterday, but not as hot as it was, I think, last week or whatever. So it's just comfortable to be out there, you know, and the restaurant, you know. And keep supporting restaurants as we're in winter, too.
Speaking of weather, like 2 days ago, or maybe, 2 days ago, did you feel the earthquake? I woke up at about 5, over where I stay. I woke up about 5:30, something like that, and the whole house was shaking. But
really?
I haven't felt an earthquake in years.
Where was I?
I don't know.
Interesting.
You might have been out on the road.
Oh, what time was it?
It was like about 5 in the morning.
Oh, I might have already been.
But yeah, and no one brought it up that I've talked to. But yeah, that just dawned on me. Earthquake country we live in. But yeah, I haven't felt one in years. It's their trip, right?
Yeah, the last one I felt, I think, was about, I think, 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know, and I think it was based somewhere around here. And I remember that I thought it was my cat because my cat came in and was jumping around. You know, it was an early morning one, too.
Yeah.
And he was jumping around, and all of a sudden, everything shook. And I was like, oh wow, he's pretty strong, you know. But but then the next day I found it was an earthquake. Okay, I felt that one because my cat. And maybe, you know what, maybe he woke me up to let me know it was coming.
Yeah, the animals, though, you know, are like that.
Isn't that interesting how the animals sense an earthquake before it happens?
Yeah, you can see it with the birds sometimes if it's during the day.
Yeah,
it gets quiet,
you know. And sometimes those dumb animals, but you know what, their instincts are better than us, especially those crows, you know. I love those crows. You know that they have human recognition, so they remember.
That's what I've heard, that remember, if you mess with them.
Or if you're good to them, yep, they come back. So they recognize faces and they have really good memories. And they're also a liaison between the living and the dead, I've heard. So, and I've actually experienced, but we don't have to get into that. Why don't we get into some of these crazy athletes that we like to party with.
Okay, yeah, our champagne or go out campaign with. Too.
Yeah, now, and champagne, as we discussed before,
yeah,
doesn't have to be
it's
alcoholic.
A metaphor.
It's a metaphor for it's time to celebrate, break out the champagne. Corbel, if you're, you know, you're...
There's many good brands. Yeah, some with the bubbles, cold.
Yeah, and so, you know, we don't care if it's, you know, soda water, whatever, it doesn't matter. These are people that we'd like to just hang out with and really get to know, because
seems like they're living their best life.
They're just out there having a ball, and the enthusiasm and the what these guys are all about. So I think for golf, somebody just, and I don't know what he's doing now. I heard his son's a good golfer.
Yeah, I'm not up on the locals.
Oh, okay. This is John Daly.
Yeah, John Daly for sure. He seems like just a crazy character. Smoking cigarettes, always a cocktail in his hand, go out there and play some golf with them. It would probably be amazing stories.
Yeah.
It would be crazy betting if he could do it like that.
He reminds me of the Mickey Mantle of golf.
For sure.
You know, old school.
Roll out of bed and just do it.
Yeah, put the clothes on and the fancy golf clothes and go out there and just smash that ball. Because he was known to smash that ball.
Remember when he sued the PGA because he wanted to go on a course and he wanted to use a golf cart, and they wouldn't let him?
That's right.
Yeah, and he made a huge stink about it.
Yeah, because they let that...
He's doing it his way.
Yeah, he let... Because the reason it was...
Yeah, he had a bad back or something.
Yeah, but before that, they let that one guy...
There's precedent.
Yeah, there was a precedent. I forgot the guy's name, but they let him do it. But then all the players, it was like, that's bullshit. That's a disadvantage. It's like, the guy is a cripple, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? If he's got enough balls to get up there and hit a golf ball and be a cripple, you know, carry him in a golden chariot, you know? I mean, make way. But you know, I'm not a role model, Charles Barkley. So, you know, he's kind of like a cross between Frank Sinatra, and, you know, he's doing it his way. And like I said, Mickey Mantle and Frank Sinatra.
Well, yeah, he hydrates with Budweiser.
Yeah. Yeah, and the funny thing, he's like Butterbean. He was a big guy, and you're like, oh, he's just pudgy, but he was so strong. That guy could hit a ball
great swing.
Golf a ball farther than anybody, right?
Until Tiger came along.
Oh, Tiger could out hit it for distance?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what gave Tiger his advantage. But yeah, John Daly, oh man, could you just imagine playing some golf with him and just the stories he could tell and just, you know, probably the trash talking and stuff going between the clubhouse, I guess they call it. What is it?
Yeah, that's got to be a clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know? And then, of course, so they always have the little golf lounge where they have the little restaurant.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, okay, yeah.
They all have one of those. Even if it's just a snack bar like in Caddyshack, there's always a place where you can get a beer out there. So, I mean, or drink. And this guy was like, you know what? I'm loose
it's
as
here.
I'm
gonna
here.
Take
I'm,
advantage.
I'm having fun and loose as a goose. You know, some players are so intense that they don't know how to relax.
Seems like they take the fun out of it. He seems like, especially the way he golfed, like he would be the epitome of like a Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I mean, he was a cartoon character in a good way, all by himself, without being a golfer that could hit the ball a mile. And like I said, he didn't look like he could hit the ball a mile. It looks like he just came from a keg, you know, was hanging out with his cousins that went to, you know, Chico State and were members of Lambda Pi.
Chris Farley body type.
Yeah, exactly. Ready to go.
And a little bit of that personality.
Yeah, so I for golf, you know, you got it. You know, we Tyson, of course, that's a no-brainer, but you got to go with John Daly just for what would he be like? I mean, when he had the cameras on, if he's misbehaving, what's happening when the
cameras
are
off? Yeah.
And that's what I would like to see. You know, so John Daly is my number one choice for as far as a golfer, more than Tiger Woods or any of them. Because what, you know, he's a John McEnroe of golf.
Yep. Tiger would be up there as well. Because it'd be crazy because he was so big at his height. You know, he was the Michael Jordan, you know, he was in all the ads. He was anywhere he went, so it'd just be a trip to tag along to and feel that experience of someone that is like Beatle level of
Beatlemania,
famous.
Yeah,
just everywhere he went, it's crazy. You'd probably want to stay out the IHOPs with him, though. It seems like he has a thing for waitresses.
Oh, is that what happened?
I don't know. Let's not get into that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
I thought he just went for the pancakes.
I don't know. The Grand Slam special is on hit. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, then speaking of, you know, we're talking about you know, that John Daly, part of his personality is like John McEnroe. How about John McEnroe for tennis? Or Ely Nastasia, I remember him. I remember watching those kids when I was a kid, and those guys were swearing worse than my parents. You know what I mean? I mean, they were
loud,
and they
rambunctious,
and didn't care,
didn't hold back,
and they didn't.
Tennis is such a quiet, refined sport.
Yeah, right.
So, like, you know, there's so many just rules, and the
it's
sport
such an
is
elegant,
elegant.
Game.
Yeah,
and then you get John McEnroe,
and he's yelling at the umpire. What are they called? The line judges, the umpire, something like that.
Yeah.
He's yelling at him and just
can we blame it a little bit on the Irish?
I think that's just how he rolled.
Okay.
I've seen him in movies where he plays a character of himself. Just like he would be doing it at like 150 miles an hour, and it's just hilarious. He seems like it'd be so fun, and just something simple like going out to a dinner, you know, would be hilarious with him.
Yeah, and what I liked about him is he ended up marrying to me America's sweetheart. You know, I love Tom Boyce, and was that Tatum O'Neal from the Bad News Bears and Purple, or not Purple Rain? What was that one she did with her dad? Paper
I don't
Moon.
Know. I don't know.
Moon.
I don't know who that
but
is.
Tatum O'Neal is Ryan O'Neal's daughter, and he ended up marrying her. So he married.
Nice.
He married a.
Congratulations.
Academy Award winning actress.
Oh, she's an actress. Okay.
I think she won or got nominated at 9 years old for Paper Moon. So.
Yeah, those aren't easy.
I mean, you think, 9 years old, I'm going to have a lot of these. And, of course, it was her last one. But you never know. Just like with sports, you know, we got to the World Series my rookie year. I'm so excited. We'll do it every year. And they never get back. So, you know, appreciate what you got when you got it. I put him down. But then let's put an asterisk because of Tatum. I'd get to hang out with Tatum O'Neal, too.
That sounds like a bonus.
Well, yeah, you know, and his Ryan, her dad married, Ryan O'Neal married, or maybe never married.
Who's Ryan O'Neal, an actor?
He was an actor. He was in What's Up, Doc? With Barbara Streisand.
Was he an action star?
Filmed in San Francisco.
He
was actually...
Steve McQueen? No?
Well, the same era. Steve McQueen did movies in San Francisco, Bullet, which was a classic. But he was just... John McEnroe was just one of those guys that... I would just love to hang around with because
he epitomized that era. Kinda.
Yeah, and you know, it's like you said. Once you get it big, you can have that loud mouth. But if you have that loud mouth,
I think
you
would
that,
do that in a pickup game.
No, but what I'm saying is, once you get to the top, gives you a little more leeway to say, "Hey, I'm here. I'm Tom McEnroe. You know, I'm a Grand Slam winner. You're not going to get rid of me. So you're a peon to me. You're just a line judge. So I'm going to shit on you. You know, I mean." I'm not saying it's right, but you know that was kind of
certainly entertaining.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not condoning it, but entertaining. You know what? When I was
that was just the style. Some people are vocal like that out there. It's just the competition in them.
Yeah, but you know what? It's just dawned on me. It's kind of entertaining because when I was
it's always fun to see someone lose their shit.
Okay, I don't know if it's always fun, but here's the story. When I was going to Chico State, I worked for the Sicilian Cafe, and it was a great Italian restaurant. But the Angelo was the owner, and he had one of those Italian tempers that goes similar to the Irish temper, right?
The blood boils,
and he was such a perfectionist. He'd be go, "God damn it, these cannellonis aren't filled, you stupid motherfucker!" He'd start yelling at people.
Oh, like Gordon. Who is it?
Oh, dude, he was way ahead of his time.
Yeah,
way ahead of his time. And I would be busting the table, and people would be eating and having a conversation.
And they could hear him.
But then when he'd start screaming and yelling at, you know, all that. Brian Raymond, whatever, or those raviolis are undercooked, you goddamn idiot, you know, going back and yelling. He never yelled at us, but he always yelled at his brother and anybody in the kitchen near him.
High standards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it was his high standards. He wanted the meal perfect, and it was a 5-star restaurant, you know, in Chico. It was known as the best Italian food. But what I'm trying to say is, being the busboy and being out there with the crowd, so to speak, while he's backstage yelling, so to speak, as I say, because it wasn't a theater production, but it kind of was. I would watch the people, and when he'd start swearing, they'd be like,
They'd be like, he's probably known for that.
Laughing and being entertained and also annoying. This guy is putting the effort. So when I did that shit when I was younger, it didn't work out so well. But once, what I'm saying is, once you make it like a John McEnroe or an Angelo at the Sicilian Cafe, once you made it, people want to see that. It's like that accent.
That's excellence.
And but it was also the accent you can't take your eyes off. See it. Like, oh my God, this guy's going nuts. In fact, I did that one time when I was playing ball up in Burlingame, when I was playing semi-pro baseball, and I got there late, and the coach goes, okay, Frank, we need you to go in and pitch, right? And I'll never forget it because I'm like not really warmed up, and this guy hits one opposite field way over the fence, and I was so pissed I started swearing like, goddamn son of a bitch.
On the mound?
Yeah, I just started swearing like, motherfucker. And I wasn't mad at him.
I'm mad at myself because
I served him up the guy hit it a long way, and I was like, God damn it. It wasn't just a little home run. It was opposite field. He took it to right field and he was a right-hander. So, but nothing against him. I wasn't going, fuck you to him. But I just remember I was swearing my ass off. And then I kind of went back to dugout. Then I was embarrassed because I lost my noodle. Yeah. Right. And one of the players, he actually Parks. He went to Reardon High School. I think he was a couple years ahead of me. Played for USF right before that. And he comes up to me after the game, and he knew me from Reardon, even though I didn't play baseball at Reardon. And he came up to me after the game, and I was thinking he was going to say, you little hothead, or whatever. And he came up to me and goes, dude, I really like the way you went off, dude. You've got a lot of passion and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I thought you were going to tell me I'm an idiot. So sometimes you go too far. And you say one thing too far, but sometimes if you know it's not at the other guy, and you're mad at yourself. Yeah. Well, McEnroe would yell at the line judges, but sometimes these guys would get mad at themselves. I could do better, and some people get scared by it because it is a lot of intense energy. But it's like I said, going back to Angelo, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
It's all in the pursuit of excellence. And getting the best out of yourself. So it comes from a place of a good place. It's just that energy is misused and it's misguided, and they're just
or misrepresented.
Yeah, misrepresented.
People think they take it personal. Yeah, but it has nothing to do with them.
But it's kind of standard on the sports field or on a basketball court or in the baseball field or on the football field. People are used to people, slamming their helmets down, kicking the ball, just.
Yeah,
acting
but
out.
But the thing about it is, if I was in American sports, the game was over pretty. After that, so I didn't get to face him again. But if I faced him again, I wasn't going to be mad at him.
No, it's not like you'd beam him.
You'd try and strike him out. A little clap and go, you crushed that ball off me.
Yeah.
I mean, he hit it deep. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't just barely made it over the fence. He hit it deep and he went with it. He went opposite field. So the guy was a great hitter. He did a great job. I wasn't mad at him, but I was mad at myself. And I've done that.
What'd you throw? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was outside because he went with it. No, I think it was my fastball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he hit my fastball outside. Yeah, it was outside. It was level, but he got his bat extended. He went with it and took it. Yeah, I remember looking at it go, no one's hit a ball that far off me before in my life. So I was like, God, yeah, I was pissed. But, yeah, after the game, shake his hand and go, good job, man. But, the intensity that I had sometimes, I know, scared people. But it was always, I was class act, I have to say, because I did not care if somebody hit the home run off me or beat me. I'd shake their hands. I always had good sportsmanship, always. I didn't always get that. But the hot head will take you out of a game. Because when I was playing at Mendocino College and we went up to play College of the Redwoods up there in Arcata, I think it was Arcata or Eureka. We went up to play, and I was like, I got three hits, line drives, the first game, and I was playing right field, and it was wet out there, and I come running in on a little base hit, and I slipped, but I blocked the ball. And the whole team, the other team, laughed at and I got up and I picked the ball and I threw it behind the runner who took the big turn and I nailed him, and he was out.
Hot in their face.
No, I flipped him off.
There you go.
And I just looked at him. I go, fuck. I didn't say fuck you, but I just flipped the team off. But my coach, he played with the Yankees. He played with Mickey Mantle Jr. And he played with Ron Darling, and he actually threw a perfect game in Wow, that's hard. Tom Kibbe, you can look him up. It was a 7-inning game, but he still threw a perfect game in the minor leagues. You know, so not too many people have thrown a perfect game, but
in any level.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the asterisk 7 innings because it was the second game of a doubleheader, but it doesn't matter. He's in the history book. But he was an old school baseball guy.
Yeah,
and he pulled me out of the game, and what I didn't like, because I go, why'd you pull me out of the game? I was hurt the first half of the season. I cut the tip of my finger off with the table saw, and I got in that fight and broke my hand. And now I'm healthy, and I'm crushing the ball and seeing the ball. Why are you pulling me out now? And he told me, he goes, oh, we got to let some of the other kids play. So he didn't. Old school was, no, we're not going to tell him. You know, a lot of times those old school ball players, no, if you're going to mouth off, you figure it out yourself. And I wish he had told me, because it took me 30 years to figure out, why did he pull me? Why? Because I embarrassed him, because he didn't have control of me. I flipped those guys off, being a city boy. So, fuck you.
Yeah, right.
I'm a city boy. You know, that's where I grew up. They'll take the boy out of the city, but they're not going to take the city out of the boy. You know, so, but let's just going back to it, cost me. So people like McEnroe, you know, once you get to the top, you can do what you want. You know, yeah. And sometimes it's no such thing as bad at advertising, but we're talking about him, and half of it we're talking about Tatum O'Neal, the other half we're talking about his temper. But what a fucking awesome
great athlete.
What an awesome tennis player.
Yeah.
And a lefty. So that threw, you know, a southpaw always throws people off, especially in tennis.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
So, yeah, you don't see it that often.
No, he'd be, yeah, it'd be just be hilarious to just night on the town with McEnroe. But on the other side of the spectrum from McEnroe, what do you think about Peyton Manning?
Well, you know,
it seems like all these guys in their day had this level of fame that just a night on the town,
yeah, and
especially where they're from, would be crazy.
And Peyton Manning, what I love about him is he has that dry sense of humor.
Yeah,
you know,
laid back, but slow delivery.
Yeah, but it just makes you laugh. And you know, you used to hang out at the Playboy Mansion, and you know, was always, you know, yeah, he was always having a good time. But you know, he doesn't have any bad, you know, like, you know, I don't have anything bad to say about him. Like, he was,
oh, but not.
I'm saying he's fun to hang out with, but he's not going to get you in trouble.
No, of course not. It'd be fun. It seems like he's a practical joker, you know, some jokes, some hijinks.
Yeah.
It would just be hilarious. His Saturday Night Live skits are really good. His commercials are funny.
Yeah, he's just a natural.
Yeah, so anywhere you win, it would be probably... You
I know, like that commercial where he hit him on ESPN with his brother, and they're kicking each other. And they're just acting like brothers as they're getting the tour.
Yeah, like they're 12 years old.
Yeah, just in the time he was on Saturday Night Live when he started throwing, he was teaching the kids, and he's just throwing them bullets, going, why did you catch that? What's wrong with you? I mean, and when you're watching it, like, he probably had to sign some kind of consent with the parents, because was throwing that ball hard. He's throwing a ball like maybe not an NFL player, but he was throwing it like to a 15-year-old, and these kids are like, remember, they're like 10 or 11.
It's hilarious.
Oh, one of my favorite.
You don't love the kids.
One of my favorite Saturday Night Live skits ever. I mean, it just, he was a classic. So, you know.
And that might be like McEnroe with, what was her name?
Tatum O'Neal.
Tatum O'Neal, you might get the 2-for-1, so you get Peyton and Eli.
Yeah, and also, you know, with other sports athletes, sometimes there was somebody that they paired well with. So like John Stockton, Karl Malone. How could you ask for, I'm going to go out with just one of them. You got to go out with the tandem on some cases. So Tatum, you know, Tatum made John look good. You know, she really did.
But yeah, so Peyton Manning would be hilarious. Like, you know, a big fancy dinner, a lot of good stories, you know, talking about because he's had a lot of comeback drives, you know, game throwing touchdowns. So it'd be cool to hear those stories. You know, hijinks, you know, football hazing.
Yeah, he just...
So he would have some great sports stories.
But having his dad as a quarterback for New Orleans Saints, you know, growing up...
Oh, yeah, they're a football dynasty, right?
Yeah, he grew up seeing that. So then when he got older, he was a consummate professional. But he also went... Like, he's a guy, I'd have to say, oh, if I hung out with him, I wouldn't even have to have a drink.
Oh, no, it
seems
like...
I mean,
like
some of these guys,
like...
you'd have to have a drink with John Daly.
Oh, yeah, because that's kind of their persona. But Peyton seems more like a jokester. Like, it would be like... taking them to an amusement park.
Yeah.
But it's really just night in the city. They're doing hijinks. They're, you know, pulling pranks maybe. That's how I picture it.
Yeah, and that's why I said this list, you know, doesn't have to be, you know, 100% strip clubs and Las Vegas and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't, you know, that's
part is geared to the personality of the player.
Yeah, that's for somebody that likes to go to those places. But, you know, to hang out with some of these other guys, like you said, I'd be just as happy, you know, if they got invited to their house and they had somebody, you know, cook a dinner or something like that, you know. But John Daly, of course, he would be fun to go out on a town with. And then, of course, we were talking a little bit earlier about Will Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Clark's another one of those guys that I picture him having a few beers and getting loose, but I don't feel, I feel he was a leader, you know, so I felt that his exuberance and all that, that projected from the clubhouse onto the field, and how he was a total leader, but a good old cowboy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Louisiana, I think. He went to Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, one of those guys that'd be like, yeah, let's go fishing afterwards. I got
a six pack.
I mean, he could have drove any car he wanted, and I remember he drove a Ford Bronco. Nothing against Ford Broncos, but
they're not flashy.
But yeah, it was like, I remember, that's a good old boy. I mean, he's lived in San Francisco too. As I remember. So he's taking his Ford Bronco while, you know, other guys are driving their fancy expensive
Mercedes
cars.
Mercedes probably. You know, BMWs were probably big.
You know, and
in the late 80s.
Yeah, and here he is driving a Ford Bronco. So, good old blue calling, I'll get the job done kind of guy. I remember when Mitch Williams came in the playoff game, and he was a lefty, a wild lefty, and Will Clark just goes to when he crossed the you know, on deck circle, he told me, he goes, "The guy coming back, he goes, I got this." Like, yeah, it's time to. He was the other thing I liked.
Clutch hitter.
Every time I went to a Giants game at Candlestick, he seemed to hit a home run because I was there. You know, I'm just kidding. But
good luck.
But it seemed, maybe I was, because he always hit a home run. I was there one time
of the bat.
He hit an upper deck shot in extra innings, a walk off home run in extra innings. The whole place erupted. You know, so
Candlestick.
He hit that line drive off Mitch Williams, and the Giants got to go to the World Series. Unfortunately, they lost to the A's. But
Battle of the Bay.
But I mean, he
another earthquake.
He roped that ball. So as far as just his good old boy clutch, and you know, a lifetime. People forget about this because he did hit almost 300 home runs. I think he hit 284, but in his career. But the guy had a .303 lifetime batting average.
It's pretty good, right?
God, for a first baseman, you know, that's just supposed to hit the long ball. You know, he hit for average too. He was clutch.
He was really fun to watch.
And what
play.
A beautiful swing! Kids always emulated his swing. So just his persona, not the flashy guy, but just one of those guys that just, God, I would just love to have hung out with number 22.
Yeah, wasn't his swing, if I remember correctly, wasn't it kind of an upright swing, like a King Griffey Jr., like a bat almost on the shoulder?
And then he just had this smooth looping swing.
He'd just
go down and get it and then just put it over the fence. I mean, the guy was just, he was clutch. He kind of reminds me, well, there's so many clutch players out there, but he was just one of those guys that was loud in the clubhouse, a lead, but he led by example. He wasn't one of those guys.
Sometimes the best kinds.
And yeah, sometimes you meet people like, hey, let's go do this. Okay, and they get you to go. And then you do a backflip, and then you crack your head open. But we won't talk about that right here. But yeah, definitely him. And then as far as basketball, I mean, God, there's some characters in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
But you were talking earlier about maybe Shaq.
Shaq for sure. I mean, he's still on his second childhood.
Yeah.
It seems like he would just be such a fun guy to hang out with. Anything you do. Now, that's a jokester and a prankster for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and he does it on all phases. He's DJing parties. He's acting in movies. He's doing it all. He's a great businessman, and it seems like taking him to an amusement park or, you know, just going out to for a great dinner, and then his story's got to be off the charts. I mean, I couldn't even imagine.
Dude, I've been a fan of him and I think it was Chris Jackson that changed his name when he got the NBA. But
yeah,
those guys at LSU
made me
love LSU basketball. I mean, I was a big fan of USF, of course, and I was a big fan of Kentucky and North Carolina, of course, back in those days. I mean, I had I loved Notre Dame basketball back in the day, some of the teams they had. So I had I did have my favorites. But LSU, when he came on with Chris Jackson, that sharp shooting point guard, that's all I watched. That was up at Chico at the time. God, it's been a long time. Wow.
He was, especially in college, was just so graceful and just could run for a big man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember he used to wear the knee pads. You know, just big. You get down there and just dunk on everybody.
Yeah, he would, but he was slender then. So yeah. Watch those two guys just tear it up. They just went down and you know, hey, you got to, how are you going to keep your you know, you got to watch both these guys. You know?
Yeah, they had a good inside-outside game.
Yeah.
They were strong. I don't remember how far they got in the tournament, but I remember they had Dale Brown was their coach, real good coach. It was a really good program.
Yeah, and great colors, the purple and gold, just like Reardon, San Francisco. I've always loved that color combination. It's rich looking. So I don't know. I was just such a big LSU fan when those two guys played. So Shaq, I did meet him once in actually San Antonio when he's I forget who he's playing for, but he was staying at the hotel we were staying at, and he's walking out of the hotel one of those swinging glass doors, and I looked up and I was caught me off guard. And all I could say was, Shaq. You know?
Yeah.
And then he goes, what's up, man? And he put his hand out, and I put my hand in his palm to give him the slap. He gave me the low one. I gave him the slap. And I'm telling you, my dad worked for the Warriors. I was around big guys, big basketball players.
He's a real-life giant.
Oh, dude, his hands were the biggest hands I've ever seen in my life. I was like, oh, my God, no wonder he was breaking backboards. Jesus, yeah, criminy.
He's a giant human being.
This was, yeah. I mean, this is somebody I wouldn't want to pinky wrestle. You know,
no.
You know what I mean? I mean, this guy was, yeah. And just imagine, you know.
He makes big people look small.
Yeah. But his personality is
almost bigger than him.
Yeah. And so when you get that combination, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's a special human being.
You know, so yeah. I think that's a good list of... for the champagne and campaign, most of these guys aren't big drinkers, you know.
No, but it's a metaphor of just painting the town red, as they say.
Yeah, is it Chili God red or just red?
Nope, it's that Chili God red.
Oh, okay, perfect, perfect.
A little spicy.
Yeah,
but not too much.
That's right. That's our philosophy. You know, we want to give the people what they want, and we want flavor over heat. So. You know, we don't want the bully in the playground to, you know, mess it up for all those other ingredients.
Just add to the flavor.
You know, if you can get the pepper on your side, man, like pepper spray, we got this. You know, there's a lot of good things. And then on your inside your body, it helps with metabolism and depression and you know, all that stuff and colon cancer and all that. So a lot of health benefits with the chili pepper. And so if you're out there and you don't have a chili pepper, get a bottle of Chili God's hot sauce and enjoy life, because that's what it's all about.
For sure. So for our snacks this week, we're gonna dive into, I think it's your favorite, Frank, some desserts.
Okay, now I'm trying to behave here, you know.
But you still remember what they taste like.
Oh yeah, but it was funny, on the way home last night, I always would stop off at this one place called the Peg House up north in it's Southern Humboldt, I think. I think it's still Southern Humboldt. Or it's right by the Mendocino County border. And I always stop there and I always get to have the best cookies, right? Mm. And they have them with the chocolate chip and I get the white macadamia nuts. So I always stop and get a glass of milk and a cookie on the way home.
Are they warm still?
Sometimes, but they're that perfect consistency of, you know, not too gooey but not too dry.
Yes.
You know, but we still got to get a, you know, glass of milk and. And
I, always do that.
I go in there and I go, I said, because habit, we're all for, you know, habit, just like being clean for the pandemic. And, you know, now we're all getting good habits. Our hygienes are a lot better. Plus, Damien on Shark Tank says, you stay clean. It's an asset if you want to be successful in business. Don't offend anybody, okay? Verbally or spiritually or with your smell, you know, clean up.
How big are the cookies?
Oh, they're big. I mean, well, bigger than normal. I'd say they're about 7 inches.
Yeah, you know? Nice.
And
so how do you do it? Do you break it in half and then dip it in the milk?
No. But I break it. Yeah. I break little pieces off and then drink the milk. But, you know, old school was always dipping it in the milk. But, you know, I'm on the road and I got a carton, so it makes it a little difficult. But I would always do that. And then yesterday I was like, oh, shoot, that's right. I'm, you know, trying to get more healthy and stuff. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to show some willpower and not get my regular cookie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I still gained a pound. So I don't know what happened yesterday.
Just the thought of it.
Maybe. I don't know. And how do you gain a pound when you laid off the cookie? I don't know. But, you know.
So now you know. You got to get the cookie anyways.
Yeah, exactly. But we can remember how the cookie tastes. But you know what? Everything in moderation. But my problem, that's where my problem is. Because I'm human. And I get the Haagen-Dazs, and I say, I'm only going to eat half. And then once I take that bite that puts it over to half, I go, well, there's not half to eat tomorrow or next time I eat, so I'll just finish it. So
well, you know how they say when that happens, you didn't say which half you were going to eat. You're going to eat the bottom half. So you had to eat the top half.
I had to get to the top half to get to the bottom half.
Yeah.
Well, you follow me? It's like if I just avoid the cookie or the ice cream in the first place, that's why I say never go shopping when you're hungry. Oh, I'm getting this. And you grab all the snack food. And but my thing is now is I'm into smaller portions because you still get the joy of eating the food, the anticipation, everything. But then your stomach doesn't feel as bloated, and you still get the flavor. And guess what? You save the other half for later. I've learned that one.
Yep, that's a good one. But I'm visioning this as a cheat day and where I'm going to gorge myself. And the cookies are delicious. I love a good chocolate chip cookie, exactly like you said, when they're just kind of moist. They're not too hard. They're not too soft. You know, especially if you get them out the oven where break them in half.
Oh, yeah.
The chocolate chips are melted, and they're just so good. And I'll dip them in the milk.
My neighbor in San Francisco, when I grew up, Mrs. Barrett, made the best oatmeal chocolate chip cookies ever.
Oatmeal, huh?
Oh, yeah. And the thing about it is I did have the recipe for a while, but then I lost it. But it was on the back of the oatmeal, Quaker Oats oatmeal thing. I think it was on, maybe you could look it up online. Maybe it's still there. But she added a couple other different ingredients, I remember, that just, like you said, it made it where it was that perfect consistency all the way through. Not too dry, but not too moist. Yeah. And it was amazing. And then I like those Tates. You ever get those Tates out there? They're pretty good. They're real dry. But boy, there's a milk dipping
cookie sure.
Right there is a Tate. You can get that at a lot of stores. I think they're nationwide, but great cookies. So, you know, just like with my prime rib, I have to go with the cookies. You know, if it's moist like a brownie, that's cool too sometimes. Sometimes it's not if you can taste too much of the flour. I don't like that. But if it's a little on the moist side and it's got a filler like oatmeal or something, then I'm okay with it. And I'm okay with medium, and I'm okay with crispy. I mean, sometimes a little burnt. I like it a little burnt
sometimes. There's not
sometimes.
Such a thing as a bad cookie sometimes. But oatmeal cookies, I've never had them with chocolate chips. That sounds like they might be good.
I think she had walnuts or something. I remember I think sometimes she added walnuts too.
I've only had them when they're a huge disappointment because I've had them and they have raisins in them. So you think they're chocolate chips. Yeah, it's
no,
a bummer.
That is, I thought I was the only one out there that would get upset.
Yeah, no, it's pretty standard.
I was like John Belushi on Saturday Night Live when he found out that they were tricking him and serving him the U-bound coffee or whatever it was instead of the house, you know, special coffee, and he flipped out. That's how I always got when I've been into some. Oh, they're you know, and you get a raisin, a raisin,
yeah.
a raisin.
That's why I have trust issues to this day.
Raisins do not belong in chip cookies.
No.
Maybe a cranberry. Maybe I'd go with a cranberry.
Yeah, in a muffin or something.
Yeah, but you know, no. Regular raisins, forget about it.
Yeah, it's nature's candy, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cookies are delicious, but to me, I can't pick a favorite if it's cakes or pies, you know, cheesecake or apple pie.
Or
even the simple, just the box yellow cake with the chocolate frosting. Those are really good.
I like angel food.
Angel food.
But you know, Chili God's favorite food group is cake, candy, and ice cream.
It's got to be.
It is, you know. And then we've had sorbets and ice cream with chilies in it. So, you know, don't think that dessert, you know, you exclude chilies out of that party. You know what I mean? Because sometimes a nice sorbet with a little lime or tequila, well, you know, in the ice cream or sorbet with a little bit of jalapeno is awesome.
Yeah, it's the sweet and the spicy.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a good combination. But yeah, to me, it feels like it depends on the event, what the food is beforehand. If it's a cake or a pie, like pies or barbecue.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't know if there's a bad one. I've had so many good pies: apple pies, blackberry pies, berry pies, strawberry pies,
boysenberry. Mixed blackberry with apple was my favorite.
Oh, that
was
sounds
Kozlowski.
Delicious.
If you're ever around and see a Kozlowski out here in Sonoma County, if you see them at the stores, get one. I have to say, for this week, they get this Chili God stamp of approval for this week. I just thought of that just now. Best pies ever. And what I like to do is take them home and bake them in the oven and get the vanilla ice cream, Häagen-Dazs. Just plain vanilla ice cream, because you don't want to, you know, throw too many flavors in. I don't, anyway. Because especially when you do the mix of the berry or boysenberry and apple, when you do that mix, Oh my God! Yeah, with the crust, with that ice cream melting, that's my go-to. But like you said, nothing wrong with a good cake. You know,
no, yeah,
I love it. Or tiramisu.
Yes.
If you guys don't know what a tiramisu is, it's
you're missing out.
It's a you know, I guess it's an acquired taste because when I was younger, I didn't like that those little brandy cakes my grandma used to bring over and make. But I didn't like the rum cakes or whatever. I mean, I was like, oh, the cake part's good, but it was too much alcohol for a little kid. But then you get older and you're like, oh, yeah, that little bit of alcohol in the cake is good, you know, and it's been cooked through.
It cooks off. Yeah, it's just flavor.
But so I would have to say, yeah, good tiramisu. Or even for dessert, I was at the Park Chalet in San Francisco, and I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Oh, my God, their dessert was... with the salted caramel butterscotch pudding with just the right amount and a little bit of drizzle of the butterscotch on top of
that. Sounds like a good combination.
And a little bit of salt. So you get that little salty, you know, sweetness too, you know, and just amazing. So yeah, I'm, as you know, big dessert fan.
Yeah, and on the same...
I usually eat the dessert first because I don't want the dessert to... I don't want the food to spoil my my appetite for my dessert. So a lot of times I order and I go, no, bring the dessert first.
Really?
Like, yeah. I'm different.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's
I
no
color
order.
Outside the box.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then on the same kind of level as those things and as a cake, or not as a cake, but as a pie would be a cobbler. Like a blackberry cobbler, peach cobbler. That's
peach.
definitely that hot, and then the hot fruit, and then always with ice cream.
Yeah, a little ice, allspice sometimes. Not too much though. I don't like it overwhelming, but just a little bit to just enhance the peaches or whatever you got, or the apple or whatever, or a little pinch of cinnamon, just to, like you said, just to bring a little bit of spice
flavor.
to instead of being totally bland. But you know what? When you put too much, it kind of overtakes it. So
that's with anything. Yeah,
yeah.
You got to get the right proportions down. And I've seen online that I've never tried or never seen, but it might be really good. It's a buttermilk biscuits, right? And then it's like a biscuit strawberry shortcake. So it's the buttermilk biscuits instead of the shortcake, and then like whipped cream and strawberries and some sauce and all that. And I thought that might be an interesting. Just I don't know how that tastes. It's like a strawberry shortcake sandwich in the buttermilk biscuits.
Whoa, and with strawberries?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never tried it. I just seen it online.
Now,
and
I would like to see some on the top of that. Maybe some of that condensed milk, creamy milk or whatever they put. Maybe just on
the
top.
Like a jelly.
Yeah, and then maybe put a couple raspberries on top. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, just get the sweetness on the top there.
Then you just turn it into a fork food.
Yeah. Okay, which we like.
Yes.
We like. Okay, so we're coming
up
with some things.
Better.
We're coming with things right off the top.
But
of our head.
Those all seem to like they would fall underneath the pie family. You know, cakes and pies.
Cake, candy, and ice cream, it's all good, you know. And it always seems like, you know, since we are talking about the champagne and campaign, it's always like if you're really going to have a cheat day and go to a nice restaurant, you got to finish off with, you know, a lot of times I'm like, okay, I'm too full. But if you do have that room, nothing tops it off better than going to the traditional way and having something sweet at the end
to
polish that off and go, you know what, I had a good meal. I'm going to go home and relax or go to sleep or whatever. I'm not going to go to the gym, you know.
Well, you might get that little sugar kick, too.
Yeah.
To get you out and back into the car and on the freeway.
Yeah, and some, you know, I that's why sometimes I like to have a nice cup of coffee just to get me into gear. You know what I mean? Just to make me, like you said, like a little kickstart. And sometimes that dessert, a little sugar will get you going. And sometimes it's like, you know what? I need to go to sleep because I got a lot of work to do.
So, yeah, you mentioned ice cream on the side, a la mode, I think they call that, with the cobblers.
Right
on
top, actually.
But ice cream, to me, is... the way, if you do it right, that's a dessert in itself. I mean, there's so many different flavors.
Oh, especially
there's so many different ways to do it. I mean, with the sprinkles, with the chocolate sauce, with adding...
Oh, yeah, I had one of those Haagen-Dazs ones the other day.
Oh, like a pop, like ice cream?
It had caramel. Well, hang on. I've got it in the car. I mean, in the fridge.
But yeah, I think those are called the Magnums. The ice cream on a stick. They're delicious.
Oh, I had one of those too.
With the hard chocolate on the outside, then it's vanilla chocolate inside, and then caramel. So every bite it's hard. It's a good texture of the hard chocolate to the cold vanilla ice cream to the creamy caramel.
Well, you know what?
And when you get it going, yeah. But I'm pretty sure they're called Magnums.
Yeah, and it had.
Of course, it's gone. That's not gonna make it through the night.
Yeah, and it was salted caramel with you know, vanilla ice cream was the base, but it was just like, oh my God, this is like so much flavor. I would not want to put this in a pie. You know, that's why I say...
No, they're a meal on their own.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to disturb this balance, you know, with any more flavors. It was just... But I don't know. I've been on this salted caramel kick. And I've seen it a lot in restaurants lately, too. And on the shelf. I think it's... You know how food's kind of trendy? I think that salted caramel thing is a real... It's a little popular thing right now.
Well, it's delicious. Yeah, it's a good texture. It's the texture of the salt. And with the caramel, and it's those almost like a sweet and sour.
Well, or just sweet and salty.
Yeah, sweet and salty.
Yeah,
it's that's like, what I'm saying. It's that yin and yang. Those and opposite and flavors that, really complement each other.
In the balance. Well, I think I told you that one time I was at a winery, Letson Winery. For those of you out there, it looks like a castle, just a beautiful, they have a nice gift shop, beautiful place, the Letson Family Winery out there on Highway 12. And I did a show with the people there. And they said, "Oh, you've got to try this." And it was a balsamic vinegar, and I forget the name or what type it was. But they go, "Oh, we put this with a little chocolate syrup just on vanilla ice cream, and it's amazing." And I'm like, "No, I'm not putting any vinegar on my ice cream." And then they said, "They
just go, you got to try it on a bite.
You got to try it in a little sample because, you know, you got to have respect for us." I said, "Okay, all right." So I ate it, and I was like, you know, a little kid going, "More." More. I just wanted more. It was so good. Even though they were those little samples, I just kept going up, another one.
Yes.
It was so good. And then, but then I did buy a bottle, and I did get it on that kick for a while where I'd get the Haagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream and the, you know, Hershey's chocolate syrup.
Oh, yeah.
And at night, and that's all I did. I didn't add whipped cream or nuts and put a cherry on top.
Sounds like enough.
I mean, you could. Actually, that would be pretty nice, but it was just a simple balance of that, whatever that vinegar was. And I think the company was out of Marin, as I remember. And it was just, wow, I couldn't believe you got your chocolate and my peanut butter. I got my peanut butter and your chocolate. But it was like, whoa, how did you guys figure this one out? But those events were always fun out there at Letson. Hopefully when the pandemic, you know, gets lifted and we get past this, because this too shall pass, we will be out there doing shows again.
Yeah, I think wine tasting you can do. Right now, it's small tables, and you could wear no masks. You know, they put you at a table. It's outside, and then the servers and the people have their masks on, and it's still something that you, especially if you live in wine country like what you do, get out and try. It's so fun still.
Oh yeah, and that's what we're known for, and we're lucky to live in this region because, you know, we have the best of everything right here: the best food, best wineries, best microbreweries.
Close to the ocean.
Yeah, we got the coast. You know, we got the Emerald Triangle not too far away, and medical hot sauce coming soon. So with CBDs and make you feel good, you know, when your taste buds feel good and your body feel even better. So, you know, we're going to work on that here in the future. So it's all good in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you know? And also with ice cream, there's so many different ways to have it. That's a good one. That's, you know, you could just have a little bowl and it's a good thing. But cupcakes. Or something that it's like a guilty pleasure. You know, they have so many different flavors, so many different ways they come, especially...
What's that place in Santa Rosa? Swift.
Yeah.
Is it Swift?
Or something like that.
Sift. Sift. S-I-F-T, right?
Yeah.
S-I-F-T. Wonderful people. I was going to an event, some kind of event, and I needed... God, I can't remember the event. And I needed something quick because, you know, like, oh, bring the dessert, Frank.
Yeah.
And I, you know, one of those days, last minute, I didn't get a dessert. And I was doing a delivery at, I think, Osceola's Fifth Street Grill in Santa Rosa. And I was like, oh, I got to get something. I saw the Sift, S-I-F-T, and they're world winning. I think they were on Food Network on something. I know, you could look it up, but they made one of the shows.
Yeah.
Dude, I went in there and I talked to the kids in there and I said, hey, man, I need some cupcakes for this event. You know, what do you guys recommend? And they had, like you said, they had all the different flavored cupcakes with the different...
And they're fancy.
Yeah, but they look fancy, but then they'll have a certain topping, and then they'll have a certain center, and, like, all these different ones, like angel food cake to your chocolate, you know, what do you call that when it's... I forget the Danish chocolate? No, what is it called when they...
I don't know.
But it was some kind of chocolate, no, dark chocolate thing, and so they had the whole end of the spectrum. you know, and I was like, and they let you try them. They go, oh, here, try this, try.
Yeah.
I go, okay, give me two of those, and give me two of those, and two of those, and four of those, and you know, next thing you know, they put a nice little box.
Yep.
So who looked like a superstar coming to the event?
You did. Yeah. Yeah. The presentation of
and I didn't
those
even need chili sauce.
Nope.
I just came up. Oh, here, are the chili.
Because you
could
get them like donuts, you know, but they're just they're step above.
Oh yeah, and I think they had what was it, a Kahlua one or something?
But any kind of flavor you could think of.
Yeah,
I like the lemon ones.
Oh, I did get a lemon one.
Yeah.
I did get because I remember that one. But, you know.
The chocolate ones are good. Yeah, they're all really good.
And if you get to the party, too, they're so rich and filling, you could cut them in fourths and then put them out, you know, and have it. But, yeah, so wonderful that we have, you know, you brought up cupcakes right here in Sonoma County. I just mentioned we're the mecca of great taste and flavor here in Napa and Sonoma County. And here we are talking cupcakes, and we have award-winning cupcakes right here.
Yeah, right down the street.
Right down the street. So if you're out there and you want a cupcake, go get yourself a Sift cupcake.
Yeah, and kind of to me on the same maybe family, distant cousins of cupcakes is kind of like a brother of the cookie would be like a nice hot brownie.
Oh, you know
with,
what?
With ice cream, yep. if they're the
and
big
drizzled,
brownie.
Drizzled with some kind of chocolate or butterscotch or something. You know, something.
Well, they have the ones, like the fudge ones, where the fudge is still moist inside the brownie.
Yeah, now, as far as brownies are concerned, it kind of goes with the cookie category.
That's what I'm thinking.
My mom used to make pretty dry brownies, you know, but great for dipping milk in.
Oh, yeah.
And then I've had the brownies.
Got to rehydrate them.
Yeah, and I've had the brownies where you're talking about with the ice cream, you know, you get them at a nice restaurant, it comes with the ice cream and drizzled with whatever, it doesn't really matter. And you're just like, oh my God, it's almost like a cake.
Yep.
Like it's on the fluffier side.
Yeah.
So
and you're
it's
with
still
the fork.
Considered a brownie. But so once again, to me and my mom, I used to put chocolate chips in the brownies too.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, you know, she put the chocolate chips. So, which has made them taste so much better. So I'd have to say, and then she, back in those days, Cool Whip. I don't even know if Cool Whip's still around. Is Cool Whip still around?
It's got to be. Or I know that you can get whipped cream in the can.
Okay, I always get the spray can.
Yeah,
when we were kids, everybody got the Cool Whip. I hope they're still around, you know. But my mom would throw the Cool Whip on there, and it was just like, psh, that was it. Quick brownie, and you're ready to go. So
the Cool Whip reminds me of, that was always like with pumpkin pie.
Yeah, and that's right. And also the which you could also throw in there is nuts, too. You know,
In the brownies?
Yeah, my mom used to put walnuts a little bit. But I don't want too many, and I like them pre-crunched
ground,
up, ground in. Because sometimes you get the big one, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, no.
I want the flavor. I don't want to work too hard chewing that. I want it already
broken
down.
Up. Yeah, that sounds
that
like the way to do it.
With the walnuts and the
that would be good like
chocolate
that.
Chips. Yeah, chocolate chip. That's the way that
I sounds
like
a cavity.
You know, remember the golden rule, brush twice and floss after every meal, you know? We can't always do that, but let's shoot for that and keep the dentist out of business, you know? And don't believe them if they want to pull a tooth and then you find out later it's healthy, but they just want to churn. But we're not mentioning any names. We're just saying positive, yeah.
Okay.
I don't like certain dentists or crooks.
So, I don't know
there's
if I have a favorite.
I
don't know if I could think of or come up with a favorite dessert or one that's a go-to. It depends on what the meal was. And you just can't go wrong with a hot cookie, a piece of pie, a hot brownie, or even like some sort of sundae ice cream.
Okay, stop it right there. Banana splits. But you know what? But when I always got a banana split, I would always say, you know, don't give me the strawberry and chocolate. Just give me all vanilla scoops. Give me the nuts. Give me the whipped cream. Give me the cherry on top. Give me the butterscotch. Give me, you know, the chocolate sauce or whatever. Even the strawberry sauce. Whatever you want.
All
but
of it.
Keep
caramel.
Caramel. Whatever you got, give it to me. Especially bananas, because that wouldn't be a banana split without
cherries.
Banana. Oh, cherries on top. But I would always ask for four or three scoops of the vanilla ice cream.
Really?
That's weird. Yeah. I mean, everybody's, oh, you get chocolate. No, just give me vanilla. Because I didn't want to, you know, with all the different flavors on top, I wanted just the vanilla, the base, so I could, you know. I mean, I like mixing food together, but just vanilla ice cream sometimes. Unless I'm eating ice cream just by itself, give me the funky stuff. Then God bless Haagen-Dazs. They always come out with funky flavors like Ben and Jerry's and stuff. But give me the three scoops of vanilla. I don't know. That's just, but everybody's different. But
well, then, yeah, so you like the vanilla as a base.
Yeah.
And then it's all the other fixins.
Mm-hmm. All the other different flavors.
That does it for you.
Yeah, I don't want chocolate mixed with.
I would probably have to go with the three different flavors, and then that way each one is.
A new way?
There's no wrong way to do this.
No, and that's what the majority of people do. They say want their chocolate, and they want their strawberry. That's classic.
Yeah.
You know, like a Metropolitan. You know, it's
Neapolitan.
Just, or Neapolitan. A Metropolitan. Not a metrosexual, not a Metropolitan, but a, what is it?
Neapolitan.
Okay. Neapolitan.
Three
Italian.
Flavors.
Yeah, Italian. The three flavors. It's classic. You know, how about a cannelloni? Oh, those are good. You ever have?
I don't know what that is.
It's an Italian dish where they put it with like a creamy, cheesy, not cheese like, but almost like a custard type deal inside this.
Oh, like a pudding?
Yeah. No, more like a custard.
Okay.
But it goes inside a cannelloni, is a long, slender.
Oh, like a sweet bread.
It was about sweet cake or something. It's about it's about an inch wide, but it's crusty and it's thin. So they shoot the cannelloni in there, and then they throw powdered sugar on top.
Yeah, I think I've seen what you're talking about.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Those
dude,
sound good.
Those are ones where they give you one and you're like, what? That should come
just
in pairs.
Yeah, at least three.
You know what I mean? Or like a taquito. Yeah, I want three of those. I don't want to get cheated. But those are delicious. So out there in desserts, you know, you have, you know, in Thailand, my favorite dessert out in Thailand was, we were teaching out in the village, and they brought the sticky rice, and they put fresh mangoes on there that were just as perfect, as natural, as sweet, as just perfected, not overly, not underly ripe. And then they put that carnations cream on top. And I took, you know, and everything was just melted in your mouth because everything was soft. And I told the lady, I said, you know what? This is the best dessert I've ever had in my life.
Sounds
and
like
to
it.
This, I mean, don't get me wrong. Everything we have mentioned, off the charts. Off the charts. But this thing, you felt healthy after you ate it because you had the sticky rice and you had the mango. But it just melted in your mouth. Also, if anybody out there knows, please tell me, because I've been looking for it for years, was when I was in Thailand, there was this one plant. We were talking about pudding, talking about dessert. My buddy goes, here, try this. Hands it to me, and I peel it open, and it looked and tasted like vanilla pudding.
But it was a plant?
It was a plant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like pudding inside, dude. It wasn't, you know, like you bite into a kiwi or something, and sometimes, or not a kiwi, but some of those, they'll have a, it'll be...
Yeah,
this was looked like pudding and tasted like pudding.
Oh wow,
like
that's
vanilla pudding.
Gosh, yeah, now, they should grow those here.
Yeah, but I told now I asked my friend about it, you know, recently, and he forgot. But I don't know where I got it in Thailand, but it tasted just like pudding. I couldn't believe when you opened the top, it was like a natural pudding. So
nature does it best.
You know, and that's why I told them about the mango. It was my favorite. Dessert of all time, because you knew the rice wasn't just grown. It was, you know, they grow rice out there, so it's
farm to table.
Farm to table.
Field to table.
They got the mango tree right out there, and then the carnation. You know, they have that with the little cow with the red label. You know, with the little cow on it. That's all over Thailand. You just pop the can and just pour. It's like that creamy, and they put some of that on top for the sweetener. Oh, yeah. It was, and that was it. The sticky rice and mango and
the carnation. With the fork or chopsticks.
I went with a fork.
Yeah.
On that one, yeah. Chopsticks are hard to cut into sometimes, but fork and knife on that one cut those mangoes up. Yeah. It's a fork and knife thing, but it did melt in your mouth.
Oh, I see. So the mangoes doesn't come sliced.
Well, yeah, they were long, they were sliced, but they were long on top of the sticky rice.
I was picturing more in bite size.
No, you have to do your own work there.
Okay.
So I recommend a knife and a fork.
Yeah, you got to.
And they have them out there for you because English is a second language out there. So beautiful people out there. It's a land of 1,000 smiles, and people are 98% Buddhist. Last I checked, who knows? It could have gone down, but
that's their tagline, or that's their like state motto, or country
motto. Their country
motto
is land of 1,000 smiles.
I like that.
You know, and I think Minnesota has something to do with smiles too.
No, I think it's 1,000 lakes.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Or no,
10,000 lakes.
10,000 lakes or 10, something.
10,000 lakes, but the people are really friendly in Minnesota too. I love being out in Minnesota. So, there's some great places out there in the world and the United States. And I say get out there and enjoy it. And, you know, you're never going to have two meals exactly the same. So, savor and enjoy each one, because that's a blessing we have here in life, is to be able to taste. And for those of you that have been in accidents and have lost your olfactory senses, you know, God bless you, and nerves do come back. They take longer, so hopefully you're be out there, you know, enjoying food, because it makes life so much more enjoyable.
Yeah, that's a good way to heal, is with a good meal. So yeah, go coming to you one more time with our favorite desserts, our champagne and campaigning, and our pandemic diary. This is another episode of JFT, Just a Few Takes, signing off. Putting it down for the culture. We will see you next time.